This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level, guys. We are so excited because we have a very special guest today. We have Stacey Burke, who lived with us at the mansion in the early 2000s. You've seen her on Girls Next Door a bunch of times. So thanks for coming over, Stacey.
Yeah. Thank you for inviting me.
I was like, so old times. Feels like, that's what I was just gonna say. It feels like old times.
It's
right?
Like so weird. Like it, like nothing really happened.
But okay, so we want to start at the beginning with you, Stacey. We want us to tell us like who you are. Who is Stacey? Where did you grow up?
No pressure.
I know. Well, I grew up in Pomona, California, and I loved school and stuff like that. And then I never went to college because I couldn't decide on a degree. So then I started doing fetish modeling. Like, I don't know, because there's a longer story and there's a short version. So I'm just going to go, like, I started just fetish modeling and doing
Hollywood things. Back up. Uh-oh. So, but you live mostly with your grandma. I remember you being really close grandma.
I lived with my grandparents. I was on my dad's side. And so, yeah, they brought me up. So I had like a male and father figure. So I had a pretty good upbringing.
And your mom died kind of young, right?
Yeah, she died young. Yeah, like at 52. Yeah. Yeah, she died young. But I would see her like all the time. She lived at the beach, and that's how come I love the beach so much. And so I would see her like a lot. So she was like a hippie chick.
Aw.
Very
so
hippie.
Cool.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, Pomona is about an hour outside of LA, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember you were prom queen.
Homecoming queen, yeah.
Oh, homecoming queen.
I don't know if we had prom queens in my school. Like, I don't remember prom queens, but homecoming queen we did have.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, I love it
too. But it was a joke. I think I told you, I wasn't supposed to win.
That's why I want you to tell the story.
they did a carry on me. I was president of foreign language club. I was president of every club you could imagine. I loved school. I was one of those weirdos. But they put me into the homecoming thing, knowing that I wouldn't win. But little did they know that I was friends with all the underclassmen, all the geeks and the freaks and the weirdos. And so when they put me up there, I won by a landslide.
Whoa, I love that.
And I wore mini skirts and I danced the Sex Pistols my way. And it's like I slam dance and I was just crazy. And I had two dates. And then ever since I won Homecoming Queen, all the jocks wanted to date me. But it was just so weird how all of a sudden they want to date me. And I go, I was a freak. Now you want to date me because I won Homecoming Queen?
Yeah.
It just opened my eyes to the world.
Right. Well, I don't want to tell you anything that might disappoint you now, but you said you didn't go to college because you couldn't decide on a major.
I couldn't.
You can be undecided when you start.
Really? I tried. They go, you got to pick a major. And I go, I can't. I don't know what I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I don't know what I want to do. That's why I do everything.
You're still trying to figure it out.
I'm still trying to figure out. But I'm having fun figuring it out.
Yeah. So tell us about some of the jobs Stacey's done, because I know there's a million of them.
A million? I don't, like, okay, that Ramada Inn, Don Jose's. I worked at Don Jose's. There I started as a hostess, then a waitress, then appetizer girl, then a cocktail waitress.
But what you're most known for is fetish modeling.
Yeah, so I got into fetish modeling.
How did that start? What was the first thing?
Well, remember the back of was it, OC Weekly and LA Weekly, they have ads for gigs, and models used to like follow ads for gigs. One of them was for a webcam model. And this is back in the late 90s, where webcams, like computers, were kind of dinosaurs. And so I followed that ad, and the place was at the Sherman Oaks Galleria. And they had an office there.
Why is that funny to me? The Sherman Oaks Galleria.
Well, because it's a mall. It's a weird mall, you guys, first of all. It's a mall. It's an outdoor mall. But there's only like a few stores and restaurants in it and like a movie theater. But the rest of it is office buildings. Mm-hmm. And it's really weird.
The office buildings.
But it's also such a... Like when you were saying you had to follow this ad somewhere, I was thinking some seedy warehouse somewhere.
I know.
In downtown LA. So to go to the Sherman Oaks Galleria is such like a...
And it was like a real corporate place.
Yeah.
It was an office.
Yeah.
But they made little rooms into like webcam model rooms.
Okay.
And you could control the camera and you could zoom in. It was like really cool. Like it was really high tech. And I was making like $30-something an hour. And I was working a lot of hours. Back then, that was a lot. Like, and I had a regular paycheck, and I was working like 40 hours a day, you know, a week and stuff like that. And I went to a corporate world. Like, I would park, you know, get the validation, go to the office, thinking nothing of it. But then, you know, you dress up in a French maid and you're typing to people. You can't see them, but they could see you. And you're doing webcam, like stripping, basically, you know, stripping on camera. But this was late 90s.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so that's how I started. And then one of the models was saying, hey, have you ever thought of doing fetish modeling? And I go, what do you mean? And they go, like, Betty Page. I go, well, they still do that?
I love that.
Because, you know, I thought, you know, Photoshop, like, you know, photo clubs and stuff like that and magazines. I go, they sell fetish magazines? I didn't know they still did that.
Yeah.
I knew there was a fetish lifestyle and stuff like that, like fetish clothing, fetish fashion. But I didn't think stuff like Betty Page still, and they go, yeah, there's actually was photo clubs. There's fetish modeling, exactly what Betty Page did. And I'm like, whoa. So I'm like, okay. So I started doing that. And then when I told them I didn't really have a job, I'm available anytime, I started working a lot. I started working 5 days a week because most models had like other jobs and they couldn't get them, and or they're flakes and they wouldn't show up. A lot of people say, like, how to be a successful model. I go, you just show up and leave your drama at the door.
Yeah.
You pretty much got it made.
And everybody wants to work with somebody who's like easy to work with and on time.
And on time is the key.
Good attitude.
And not in the bathroom primping all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just trying to milk the clock. You know, like, come on, we all want to go someplace. And they're just milking the clock.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So what was your first fetish model job, and what was it? What kind of fetish?
It was bondage. It was for Harmony Productions. And it was basically bondage, and it was tied up. And so I was like a little nervous, but I didn't know how to act because when they go struggle, I just kind of struggled in one area because I'm like very used to like camera, like you don't want to get out of frame, and I didn't see where I was at. So I didn't struggle very much. I was kind of like stiff. And then later on, I realized, oh, you want me to struggle. You want me to, you know, like flip, you know, like a carp.
Flop around
like
the room.
Flop around like a fish. Okay, now I get it. But that was my first, fetish modeling stuff.
Because I remember when we were at the mansion, you would tell me about some of these weird fetishes, too.
Oh, yeah, glue fetish.
Where glue? Tell me about glue.
Where you pretend you're stuck. Like, this guy had a thing where, and he would have this special glue where you're like, and you're just talking like, oh, and you're like, oh, no, I'm stuck. And he wanted you to pull yourself out, and you could see the strings of the glue.
Yeah.
And you're glued to something. You're like, oh, no, I'm stuck. What do I do?
That's so funny.
And then I had one guy that just likes me to pretend that I fell headfirst in a hamper. And I'm like, oh, no. And I fall headfirst, and you see the legs flopping around. How do I get out of this hamper?
I love the randomness of this and just like the wholesomeness of just like my fetish is somebody falling into a hamper.
I know. And it's like fully clothed. Like, sometimes you like pantyhose. Like, it's not about fashion because they go, we want you to wear pantyhose and then stockings over the pantyhose and then the certain kind of shoes and or stuck in the couch. The whole thing, would he just want me to be stuck in, you know? So it was like a lot of acting involved. Like, you know, oh no,
is it
I
like
can't
the,
get out.
The damsel in distress kind
yeah,
of thing?
Yeah, a lot of it's like there's some damsel in distress and then there's some that people that want that like you... that you're complying, that you want to get bound or stuff. And then there's like the dominatrix thing where, you know, or a burglar comes in and then you're scared. So there's so many different aspects of it.
I remember one you told me too was the balloons, and I cannot get over the balloons.
Tell me about the balloons.
Well, there's so many different aspects of that. There's some people that like you blowing it up really slowly, and then it's getting bigger and bigger, and then anticipation that it pops. Some of it likes a squeaking when you get your nails and you squeak it.
Like an ASMR?
Yeah. And then some people just like you fondling the balloons or popping the balloons or sitting on the balloons.
That's the one she used to tell me. You sit on them. Like you go around and you sit on all these like room full of balloons and you like sit on them and like bounce on them and pop them.
Some are big balloons, some are small balloons. And so, yeah, you like pop. There's so many aspects of like the balloon. And the balloon popping.
Did you ever encounter somebody with a fetish for cake sitting? Have you heard of that?
I've done pie throwing and cake, and there's called messy fetish, where they like to have like pie throwing, or you're baking a cake and it gets all over and you have a food fight. Sitting in the cake, pie throwing, all that kind of
stuff. Wait, you legit bake a cake and like sit in it?
Yeah. Yeah. Or you like the pie throwing, but you got to be very careful because the hand's right there in the metal.
Yeah.
It could really get plastered.
Yeah.
Like, it could really hurt. But it's like, yeah, it's like in the whole thing where you drip it and you go like that. And then there's a cannibal fetish where they like plumper girls for that. They didn't really have much for that, but it's like they put you in a skewer and they put butter on you.
Wait, what?
Well, yeah,
this needs more explanation.
Like a fake skewer.
You're not really a skewer, right? Yeah.
Okay. But you're kind of a fake skewer, and they have red lights on you, and they butter you, and they're cooking you, or you're in a pot of boiling water, which is not really boiling water.
Yeah.
But the whole fetish is like you're going to be eaten.
Oh my gosh.
That reminds me of that Katy Perry video where she's like in the boiling water, but it's like a hot tub.
Yeah.
And she's like, food.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen it, but I'm like kind of like weirded out by this.
Yeah. I've done a few of those. Yeah.
I mean, I know like other ones too, like nylons are a thing.
Oh, nylons are a thing. Like everything. Sometimes I wish it was just like, God, can't there be a fetish of wearing Ugg boots and eating pizza in bed? Because I really love that one.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, like if you were in nylons or stockings or high heels or heels. Like I just had one guy just buy me, because I threw out all my heels because I'm just so sick of wearing heels because I have vertigo and I just hate heels. And he heard about that. And so he bought me all these fetish heels and all these long boots. And so I'm going to have to wear them. I tried walking them. They're really hard. And he bought me a bunch of fetish outfits. And so I got a whole closet full of like really nice outfits. So,
and feet, of course. Feet are a big one. Bare feet
where you scrunch them. Or you widen out your toes, you stretch out your toes. Toe fetish, tickling fetish.
Oh yeah, tickling. I remember that.
Tickling's a big thing.
Oh my God, tickled. I'd be awful at that. I can't stand to be tickled.
Oh yeah, I hate it too.
I am off the
charts.
Sometimes
I could like really tune in, but if they get it, sometimes you get bruises because if they find a spot, they will get you. One time I had to work with Julie Strain and I had bruises all on my butt because one girl found my ticklish spot and she would get her elbow and she would dig in and she would dig in so much it would tickle, but it was like her tickle.
Ugh.
And I had bruises all up and down my butt.
Oh my God, it's making me uncomfortable. Just because I can feel the tickling going on.
And then especially if you're tied up and tickled, you can't fight against it.
Nightmare.
Opting out.
Yeah.
Was there ever a job you showed up to and you're like, no, this is too fucking weird, bye?
I'm trying to think. I mean, you know, like sometimes this is your normal like porn stuff I don't like. But I mean, most of it, like, okay, I had to like stop my a little bit because some it would get dangerous.
Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And so I would notice there has been times where I was working with a guy, and it was supposed to, mummified. So you surround your wrap yourself, and then you duct tape. But he didn't have surround wrap. He had shrink wrap. So he shrunk wrapped me, which shrink wrap, when you get hot, it shrinks up and like an anaconda. And so you're already going, and he does it really tight, and it's hot, and you're struggling. And then he got the duct tape. And he put duct tape.
I'm scared.
And so I'm like this. And then he did a lot of four hankies. It was a four hanky club. He put hankies in my mouth and then taped my mouth shut.
Oh, no, I can't.
So I'm like, I can't say anything. I'm just supposed to, and it's hot. And he goes, struggle. And then there's a few of them where I'm in and out of consciousness. And he goes, look up at the camera. And I'm trying to force, and you see my eyes. I'm just like that. And it was terrible. And I just wanted to be done with. And he's trying to get the shot, and he almost tripped. And it was marble floor, and I'm thinking, please don't pass out, because then I'm dead.
Yeah, you have to have so much trust.
I know.
It reminds me of like when Heidi Klum wore the worm costume. Even watching that, I'm like, she has to be trusting whoever like her handler is.
Yeah.
You're stuck in there.
Yeah, because you could fall over and hit your head, because there's other, I could tell you like horror stories about that happening. So I got cut up, no problem, but it was like, I had to learn, like, when you're young, that's why they like you. You don't say no. It's money. You don't want to be a problem. You're just going to get through it. And then, you know, that's when, like, some models get hurt and they have nerve damage. And so then you learn from that, and you tell people, okay, you got to know when to say no. Because when you get tied up, you do kind of restrict the blood flow. And if you're tied up really tight, you get numb. And if you get really dark, that means there's no blood and you're turning purple. And so that's dangerous. You could get like nerve damage. And lots of times when they do cut you out, and if you're like, you got to leave, right when the blood comes back, you feel like a statue. When the blood comes back, you're literally like this. And it hurts because the blood's coming back so fast into your body that you're like a statue. And you're like, ow, 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 ow. And then it takes a while, and then you're able to move again. So there is like casualties and stuff like that. And I always tell, like, if you're in a fetish, make sure you get the gag first, so you can tell the guy what to untie first. Because there's been times where they're in a strappado, which is their arms overhead, and they will cut that first. And one girl couldn't fill her feet, and she fell over timber and hit her head and passed out and got a concussion.
Oh my god!
So yeah, you know, it's like there's a lot of safety things. That's why it's like, if you're in with a room with only one photographer, make sure there's two. Because like I said, you know, it's like if anything happens, he's it, and you're done.
There should really be an expert on set, like an expert in bondage, you know?
It's just that it's low ball. It's like a lot. Yeah. It's not really that much money in it, so they don't. But it's like if there's two people, it's good. You need a rigger and someone on set and safety scissors and all that. So ever since, like after a few years after learning, you go with the people that are safe. You know who and not to work for. And then the models kind of talk to each other, and we know who not to work for. Because if anyone messes up, we tell them, like, this guy was not good. So we kind of look out for each other.
Mm-hmm. And you do wrestling videos a lot, too.
Yeah, I do wrestling. I don't know why they keep picking me for that, because I suck at wrestling. I suck at it. I'm what do you call a jobber? I basically say, okay, just spin me around, beat me up, because I don't know what I'm doing. Just don't tell me what, just don't really hurt me, because it does happen. I've had injured my ribs a few times where they get me in a figure four and they will like squeeze me so tight where it did pop a rib.
Oh.
And it does hurt, take a long time to heal. And to this day, if someone hugs me really tight, the rib will re-pop.
Ew.
So I always warn guys, I go, please don't hug me too tight, because it has happened. And then literally it's 2 months of just like pain. Like it takes a long time to heal. So yeah.
And you met Hef while you were doing all this stuff, but way back before we even
met Hef. Yeah. Okay, my first time meeting Hef was in 1999, and I was doing the night calls, and Doria was
one of...
Wait,
what's night calls?
Gotta tell the listeners.
Yeah. Okay, Playboy had a cable show, or actually a cable channel, so with a lot of shows. Night calls was this show on Playboy TV. And it was kind of a live show. They would have girls on. It was Doria and another girl. I forget the other girl's name, but there was two girls being the host. And they would, it's like a variety show. They would bring people on. They would interview them. And then one time they did a fetish thing where had a lot of foot models and a tickling frenzy where a bunch of people just came and just tickled a bunch of girls.
My nightmare.
And I was one of them. And Doria and all of them were like laughing and stuff like that. And And so, and they did the hair and makeup on me and everything. It was nice. I was like, ooh, this is cool working for Playboy TV. This is awesome. And so at the end of it, we did a wrap party. I think it was the last episode of Night Calls. And it was a place called Pinot. It was on Sunset Boulevard. And we go there, and then Hef shows up. And he's wearing glasses at this time.
Yeah, he used to have big glasses before he got LASIK. Big glasses.
I have pictures. I should have brought the pictures. I have them online somewhere. This is when him and Kimberly just stopped seeing each other. And he was had a date with him called Indiana. I have a picture of her.
Who is Indiana? I've heard you mention her before. And I feel like I thought I knew about like who Hef had been involved with. But I've never heard of Indiana.
I don't know if she was even a girlfriend, because this is before he had girlfriends. This is before the Bentley twins. This is before...
It had to be before 99 then.
Then it might have been 98.
Yeah.
It might have been right
there in 98, and he was dating Brandy, Mandy, and Sandy.
Yeah, okay, it was just before Brandy and Mandy, Sandy. So maybe it was 98. Yeah, Indiana, and he had some other girl, and we got, and he goes, you want to come to my house? I'm like, okay. And we went to his place, and same thing. We got the robes. It was robes, not the pajamas.
Really?
It was white robes.
Oh.
And I remember going up there, and he had two cats in his bedroom.
Oh, my gosh. So this must have been right after him and Kimberly broke up.
Yeah, because I asked her, I love cats, so I was petting the cats. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm just swooning over the cats. And he goes, oh, yeah, there's my wife's cats. And I remember Doria being really freaked out of being there because it was like an orgy.
Mm-hmm.
And Doria was just like wide-eyed, like, and I thought she knew about what was going on. I thought she was just freaked out. And so she goes, Stacy, come downstairs with me. I'm going to have a smoke, because I guess he wouldn't allow smoking.
Mm-hmm.
So she kept taking me down by the grotto and smoking. So I'd go out there with her. And then he would come follow us later on. He goes, what are you guys doing?
And in the room.
She goes, I'm just smoking. I'm just kind of uncomfortable. And he goes, well, you want to go in the grotto? We could go party in the grotto or in the other room, you know, where I forget what that room is, by where everyone gets dressed, by the showers.
The bathhouse?
Yeah. He goes, we could go to the bathhouse or in the grotto. You know, I guess get busy in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes, no, I'm done. And she would get all nervous, and then we would go back upstairs. But she was just nervous. I could tell. In fact, she was kind of being like, she got a little drunk, and then she started singing, it's a story. She started singing the Brady Bunch really loud and annoying.
Okay, that's amazing.
As he's doing it with another girl.
Stop it.
And
oh my God, I'm obsessed.
He stops halfway and he goes, you're being a fucking pain in the ass.
Oh my God.
And she goes, well, I'm very uncomfortable. I don't want to do this. He goes, well, you could just leave then. She goes, well, I don't have my car here. And so I'm like, come on, say. So she takes me with her. And then and I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on, you know. And so he has his limo driver take these girls back to their car. So we go. I didn't get in trouble. She just brought me along, and I'm like, okay, I'll go with you. I don't know what to do. I'm nervous. This was like really weird. And I had a shoot in the next morning, so I was just like, you know. And so we get in the limo, and then she's drunk, and the limo driver goes, oh, I'm a really fan of yours, Dory. I'm a real big fan. She goes, oh, good. Take me to Kathy St. George's house. He goes, well, I was informed to take you to the car. Well, you don't know where I live, do you? Kathy St. George. He goes, okay. So he kept on trying to figure out where Kathy St. George lived. We can't find Kathy St. George's house.
And she was an older playmate, right?
Yeah. We're driving around LA for like an hour, 2 hours. I don't know how many hours are going by.
Oh my gosh.
she's like, you know what? And she's drinking all the drinks in the limo. She's drinking everything. And I'm like, fuck, am I going to make it to my shoot tomorrow? Did I make the right decision? I don't know what I'm doing here. Anyway, after third hour or whatever, driving around, we find Kathy St. George's house. He drops her off, and then he finally drops me off at my car. Sun's coming up.
Oh, God.
Luckily, my car is still there in the valet. I leave. I go home to Cucamonga, where I was living. I get 1 hour sleep, and I go to my shoot in the same hair and makeup from the night before that Playboy did for me at Harmony.
Oh, my gosh.
Doria was fired the next day, never showed up. I got a call from one of the girls that was still at the mansion. She goes, you should have stayed. Right now, I'm having breakfast. I'm in the grotto. I'm having the time of my life. You should have stayed, girl. And I go, I would have never made it to my shoot, because I'm thinking, I don't want to get fired from my shoot. Like, so that was my first date with Hef.
That is so funny. And did it continue from there for a little while?
No, because I just didn't think he would ever invite me back.
Yeah.
So when I saw him this few years later at the radio gig, there was Tom Leika's radio show at the mansion. We were doing the radio there. And when he walked out to do his interview, he kept staring at me.
So wait, I want to just like make it clear for the listeners. So Tom Leikas had his radio show party outside at the mansion.
Yeah.
It's kind of like one of those rental parties sort of, but Hef comes
yeah,
out
yeah.
to
he was a radio talk show host. And so I was like part of the show.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so I got
Hef
invited.
So Hef comes out to do an interview and
yeah.
he's staring at
he's
you.
Staring
like,
at
probably
me.
Probably thinking, why is and that girl look familiar?
I'm thinking, I hope he doesn't. Oh, and then I saw him before too, because Troma, we filmed it, and we filmed Troma too. So I saw Hef at the mansion in between that, but I shot a movie there. But I didn't really party
Wait,
with
Wait, Troma shot a movie at the
yeah,
mansion?
Yeah, it's called Citizen Toxie, and it's with Julie Strain, and I get killed in the grotto.
Tell people what Troma is.
Troma is, I don't even know what it stands for, but it's basically cheesy horror films where, you know, you see heads popping out, and you know, like, it, but it's kind of cheesy and funny. It's like a TNA meets horror stick. You know, it's like monsters, but not scary. They're kind of stupid. Like Trey and Matt Parker's, you know, Stone do stuff with Troma and stuff like that.
When I think of Troma, I think of one time later when we were all living at the mansion and we were in a limo driving down Sunset Boulevard, back-to-back traffic, like was not moving. And some weird-looking thing.
The attack of the
comes
killer condom.
Up to the limo window and goes ugh, and scared the pants off me. I screamed. Hef was pissed because
well,
I
got scared. You screamed.
Like, what
and
the went, fuck is
what?
Wrong with you?
He even ducked. He went what?
Yeah.
He went like that. What the fuck? What?
And I love it because Stacy was like, "Oh, I know who that is. That's the Troma Killer condom."
I know
and
him.
So funny.
Hi.
So for some reason, I guess Troma was filming something or doing an event. They had somebody dressed up as a killer condom. Had yeah. So, and they scared the crap out of me.
I know. And he goes, don't ever do that again.
Yeah, like it's my fault. I'm like, what?
Because he got scared too.
Right.
So it's like, he didn't like being scared. So yeah, I got killed in the grotto. So I did film there.
When was
but, yeah.
the Troma movie?
That probably might have been 99. That might have been, that might have been 99.
And then when was the Tom Leikas thing?
Tom Leikas thing was probably 2001.
That's what I'm thinking. Okay.
Yeah, 2001. And yeah, I kept staring at me, staring at me, staring at me. Then he does his interview and he leaves. Like, I even waved because he was staring at me so much. I'm like, he just kind of like waved like, hi. And he waved at me at hi. And I'm like, okay, and he's just doing his interview. He left, went back inside. And then all of a sudden, Elaine comes up to me at the bar. And she has a pen and paper. And she goes,
for those listening, Elaine is the photographer at the mansion.
Yeah, she was a live-in photographer. Like, well, she kind of well worked there so much. She felt like a live-in photographer there.
It did feel like that. Like
yeah,
that
she was
little
a
photo
in,
office
yeah.
in the hallway. It kind of felt like she lived there.
It was her room. Yeah, her. It felt like her bedroom, not just
yeah,
her office.
Yeah. But yeah, she had a paper and pen. She goes, I have once your name and number. I go, what? At first I thought, did I do something wrong? Did he recognize me? With hell? But she goes, no, you just want your name and number. It might have been Tuesday. I get a phone call. And this is when we had, voice boxes? What,
like a voicemail? Voice, or like answering machine?
Yeah, answering machine.
Yeah, machine. I'm like, what is that thing called again?
I forgot what it was called, answering machine. And so I always screen my calls. And then the phone rang and he goes, hi, my darling. I'm like, what the fuck? So I pick up the phone. I go, hello? Huh? Oh, you're there. Hi, this is Hef. And I'm all, no, it's not. Like everyone says, like, no, it's not.
It's so
I get
surreal.
That a lot. I get that a lot. And he goes, I was just wondering if you want to come out, you know, with us. We're going out on Wednesday night. If you want to come up, you know, go out with us. But then as I hung up, I'm like, I don't know how to get there.
Oh, yeah.
And that's before Google. So I had to really do Maps Quest.
You had to break out the Thomas Guide.
Yeah. Like, and I was scared. So it's like my first drive there, when I went to the gate, I go, I don't even know what to say. Like, Hef's expecting me. Like, they almost like, are they going to believe me? Then they let me in. And it was during Christmas time. And I seen a bunch of people there. And I saw the eggnog and the table and everything like that. And
there were a lot of people coming out with us. Like right around that time, people were starting to move out. And there were some girlfriends who kind of had a foot out the door. But there was like a lot of people coming out.
Yeah.
And he, for those next couple months after he started coming out with us, he started adding more and more days. Like there would be more than two club nights. And I remember there was one time when there was 9 nights in a row we went out.
Wow.
And you and I were the only ones who did all 9 nights. Like
and
everybody
mentioned
else
that
was
too.
Like calling in sick or like, oh, I'm sick or oh, going to go do this. Like, they found their way to weasel out. And I just remember, like, we were down in the Great Hall, and I said something to you about it. Like, these 9 nights, like, I was exhausted. Because it was 9 nights straight of, like, drinking and bedroom and just, I was dying. Yeah.
And then the salon really knocked me out. Like, that's hours in the salon. That was my, I was like, oh, God.
Did you say that Hef would bring it up, too, that you guys had done?
One time he did bring it up. I forget how it was. I really forget how it was. But someone was complaining about going out, and he goes, well, and he even said, he goes, well, Holly and Stacy make it, or something like that. Something to the effect. I don't know exactly how. But then I was like, ooh, teacher's pet. Then I'm like, oh, no, now there's a target on me.
Exactly, because that, I think we kind of had a similar experience where all the other women started to hate us because we were there just like being good girls and following the rules, which at first they liked when I moved in. They're like, oh, you should be the next main girlfriend because none of them wanted to do it. Like, they loved it that I was picking up the slack and showing up to the dinners and watching the movies. But then when Hef started saying things to them like, why can't you just be a good girl like Holly? Then it was like, fuck this bitch. We need to get her out of here. Because he would always use us as like the example. Or like if they would ask for more money, it's like, well, Stacy didn't need money for a dress.
I know. That's another thing. And I think that's why I was like, they grade on a curve. They wanted to get rid of the weakest link. Like, because I was fine. Like, I didn't want to like ask for anything. I was fine. I'm like, oh, I was afraid to ask for anything.
Yeah. So tell us about that first night going out. Where'd you guys go?
It had to be Barfly. And I remember Hef even coming up to me personally, because it was my first time going out. And he goes, where do I know you from? He said that. He goes, like, where do I know you from? And I just basically said, well, you know, I've seen you. You know, I used to do Playboy TV, and I got killed in the grotto by trauma.
Having MG can make cooking difficult, but over the years, I've found some really helpful tools and tips that I'm excited to share. Hi, I'm Alicia. I think cooking should always be fun, creative, and of course, delicious. These black bean burgers are hearty, full of flavor, and MG-friendly. You're gonna love them.
Check out Alicia's Black Bean Burger cooking video and other recipes full of tips and tricks for managing common MG symptoms while cooking only at mg-united.com.
Ready? Let's cook.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with Ultra Titanium Alloy Metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Then what was the night like? You guys are dancing, you're having fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Like, I remember even China Joni showed up, China the wrestler.
Yeah.
Because I guess she was really good friends with Stephanie Hendricks. And so it was like, so I'm like, whoa, you know, China's here. And it's like, it was just fun. Like, you know, like they were drinking champagne. They were drinking into that crystal. They're like crystal and stuff like that. And I was just like, whoa. And then I recognized a few of the girls. I don't want to say their names, but I remember I ran into two girls in particular. I'm like, oh my God, because we were on sets together. Mm-hmm. I see. Last time I saw you was at a Vivid show.
Oh, we're going to get into that. For people that might not know, what is Vivid? You met these girls on a Vivid shoot.
Yeah, because I worked for Vivid a few times. Vivid is a porn production, but they also did games back then, like gamers and stuff, but it was like porn gamers and stuff like that. So I don't even know what their purpose was there, but I know one girl was going to be like a contract girl, but then she bailed out of it.
So you guys are out. Was everybody nice to you, though?
Yeah, everyone was nice to me, but there was an incident with Stephanie. Because, okay, everyone's in the limo, we're leaving, and Hef with this bad back, and I had no idea what's going on. He's struggling to get up, and I'm like, so I helped him. I go, here, Hef, let me help you. But I was just walking with him. And so then Stephanie gets out of limo, gets on the other side of Hef, and she gets to the other arm, and she looks at me, and she goes, you're not going to sit next to him next to that. You're not going to sit next to him in the limo. You know that, right? And I go, and Hef, Hef couldn't even hear, I'm thinking, and I go, I don't think, of course not. I'm not going to sit next to him.
This right in front of Hef, but she knows Hef can't. She says it in a way that she knows Hef can't hear it.
Yeah, because Hef is just like oblivious to what she's saying, but she literally snarked at me. And I was like, God, no. Why would I do that? I'm new. You're here. She goes, and then she like shook her head. She goes, what? I go, you earned your spot wherever you're at. You've been out with him forever. I've seen you in the magazines. Because I was kind of starstruck because I seen him in the mag. I seen all these girls in the magazines. I knew they were his girlfriends. I go, you earned this spot, honey. You go, girl. I'm just here for the ride. I'm just my first night. I don't know what's going on. She goes, oh my God, Stacey, you're so sweet. And then she gets in the limo and then she says right in front of everyone really loud, Stacey, you're so sweet. I love you. And I'm way in the back and I'm like, thank you. I love you too. But then I'm thinking, okay, another target, you know, like, yeah. Don't love me too much. I'm new.
Yeah. Okay. But, yeah. Well, I have to know, did he offer you a Quaalude?
Not the first night. That was later on. They were cut in half.
Yeah.
And of course, I was too scared to take one.
Me too.
I was too scared to take one. Some of the girls told me the reason they took it because they didn't want to drink and they wanted to lose weight. And so they would take it instead of drinking.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And then one of them said, Stacey, I noticed you've been haven't taken them. Do you have them? I go, yeah, I think they're in my purse. I'll buy them from you. But I never gave them to her, but she offered to buy them off of me.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think there was probably some resale going on.
That's why they didn't want me. Because I used to say, no, I'm okay. And then I got scolded for not taking them. And they said, never refuse them or he'll stop giving them to all of us.
Yeah, I think she was selling them.
And so I was like, okay. And so I still think that I kept them. So they're somewhere.
They're probably in my purse. I probably have purses with them because in the liner. Because I would act like I'm like, thank you, honey. And then I'd be like pretending to take. Because I didn't want him to catch me. I was really, you know. And I think some of the girls really had to pay attention that I wasn't taking it. Because I was really trying to be slick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would pretend to.
Yeah. I'm still scared. Like, I'm going to make a fool of myself. I'm going to be all like.
Especially mixing it with alcohol. I feel extra scary. Because he didn't offer them on the way out to the club. So you didn't drink. He offered them on the way home from the club.
Yeah.
So I feel like.
Yeah.
That's extra.
And it was
scary.
Cut in half. And so they were tiny.
I remember asking him that once. I'm like, aren't you scared to like give those Quaaludes out? Because sometimes he would bring girls home from the club and you don't know what they've been drinking or what they've been taking or what drugs they do.
Yeah.
I go, aren't you scared to like give those to people? And then what if somebody overdosed? Like, what if that was the thing? Because I'm picturing in my mind that scene in Boogie Nights where the girl does too much coke and she's like convulsing and they have to drop her off in front of the ER. I'm like, what? Like, aren't you afraid to do that? He goes, yeah, that's a thought. And he just like didn't care and was so nonchalant. And I don't know why he thought he was so untouchable. Like, I feel like there had to have been some kind of a plan in his head. Like, if something like that happened, what would he do?
Yeah.
But I guess he wasn't worried about it.
And I guess nothing really happened. I mean, which is weird. Because usually things, you know, with all those odds, something had to happen.
Yeah, you would think something along the line, something would have happened to somebody somewhere.
Unless they
probably did over the years. We just don't know.
Yeah, maybe it did and got covered up before we even knew about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After that first night going out, you were a regular? Did he have
Then he started. That was kind of later, but that was kind of weird. Like, okay, I started going on the Wednesdays and Fridays. And then, I remember one of the parties that I took the tram one time. And I showed up to have, you know, at the party. And he goes, where did you? Yes, he goes, where did you park? I go, I took a shuttle. What? You could park, like I knew, but I did not know.
Yeah.
Like, well, I didn't know.
We've said a million times on the show, like, there's no handbook, and nobody tells you anything.
No.
Like, nobody wants you to know. It's all figure it out yourself.
Yeah, they just want you to stumble around like an idiot. Like, nobody helped me. Why should I help that person?
Yeah, and I go, oh, really? He goes, I didn't know if there's room for my car. Oh, don't worry, we got back. And so that's when I knew, like, okay, I could drive up privileges. So I learned it as I went. And the girlfriend thing was just a weird thing. It wasn't like your typical, you're my girlfriend now. I was sitting on his bed and we were all gonna like watch a movie or something. And I was the only one in the room at that time. And all the girls were taking their time getting there. And he was busy getting ready, showering or whatever, like cleaning up, putting on fresh pajamas and stuff. And I was reading the tabloids on his bed. And then he looked at me, he walked over and he kissed me on the forehead. And he goes, you're getting allowance starting this week. And I'm like, what? Oh, thank you, honey. I didn't know what that meant. So in a way, that's what he meant.
Having MG can make cooking difficult, but over the years, I've found some really helpful tools and tips that I'm excited to share. Hi, I'm Alicia. I think cooking should always be fun, creative, and of course, delicious. These black bean burgers are hearty, full of flavor, and MG friendly. You're gonna love them.
Check out Alicia's Black Bean Burger cooking video and other recipes full of tips and tricks for managing common MG symptoms while cooking only at mg-united.com.
Ready? Let's cook.
McCrispy strips are now at McDonald's. Tender, juicy, and its own sauce. Would you look at that? Well, you can't see it, but trust me, it looks delicious. New McCrispy strips, now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
That I was a girlfriend?
Well, do you remember when I started coming around?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you'd come around. Like, we all loved you. Like, we were like, oh, my God, you know, Bridget's coming. Like, you were fun.
Aww.
Yeah, you were.
And so I feel like you and I hit it off right away.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Became friends, like, right away.
Yeah.
And I feel like on my first night, which you know how scary and weird it is,
yeah,
that you were the one that helped me the most.
Oh, night. Really? Because I wasn't
helping anybody. No offense.
I just assumed you
I wasn't
knew.
Helping anybody.
Like, it's so weird. I just assumed you knew what was the drill and what was going on. That's how I was in my head. I thought everyone knew the drill. I was the only one that didn't know anything.
No,
none of us did.
I remember in the limo, you were like, "Are you coming? Like, are you going to go upstairs?" And I was like, "I don't even know what that means, really." Yeah.
I don't even know why I would ask that, because I would. But yeah, maybe I did ask that, or maybe someone asked me to ask you that, or something like that. Because that's really not what I would really ask. Because I just assumed everyone wanted to come up to go, you know, like, because it seemed that way. All the girls like clamoring to cool. Can I go out with you? You know, I just thought like, oh, everyone wants to come up.
I was trying to get out of it, but but then you were like, okay, this is not like you took me, not like not, you made me go up there,
yeah,
no. But like when we were up there, you were like, okay, so this is the bathroom, like, oh, okay. We change in here, take a little bath, here's the pajamas. I was like, okay, this is so God. Weird.
I know. It is weird, but we lived it.
It's very weird. So let's talk about, I have the drugs at the mansion, because I know you didn't do them. Mm-mm. But there were people that did.
Yeah, I don't really know who did and who didn't, really. I mean, kind of do, but not really.
Did anybody ever offer you any?
Oh, yes. Yes. That was during the Grammys. And I was in the bathroom in room 2. And a girl did, she was in the bathroom. Oh, I think she was in the bathroom before me. And I waited, and then I went. And then she came back and she goes, "Stacey, do you want a bump?" And I go, "What's that?" And then, you know, it's cocaine. I go, "Oh, no, thank you." I'll die of a heart attack. I can't do that. She goes, "Oh, no, I don't want that to happen. Never mind. Forget I said it." I go, "Okay." I go, "I don't know if I could have that. I don't know if I could. I don't know if I never had that before. I'm scared. I don't know if I can. I'll have a heart attack." I really thought. I go, because Red Bull grits me. I can't even have Red Bull. So I was like, it kind of freaked me out. I go, and she goes, "Oh, then never mind. Never, you know." And that's on the way to the Grammys. Like, we were getting on the Grammys. I'm like, yikes.
That was the only time?
That was pretty much, except for one girl wanted to buy my Quaaludes.
Holly and I didn't get offered either. We were too nerdy.
Yeah, for sure. Like, there was one girl who told me about different drugs, or like how somebody would like snort her whole pile instead of the line. Like, she'd complain about stuff like that. So I kind of knew who was doing it, but nobody ever offered it to me, because I think everybody had me pegged as like a square and a narc from like day one.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that was like the first time. Once she noticed like my reaction, I think everyone knew, like, don't off stage.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, don't.
Okay. So you have your apartment though. I have my apartment. And then I start coming out more. We're sharing the room.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but let's talk about Midsummer's 2002. And I'm pretty sure it's the costume you spent your whole allowance
on.
Yes. Okay, so tell everybody about this outfit.
Okay, well, you get $1,000, you know, allowance extra to buy an outfit. And I usually bought, like, you know, stupid stuff. But I'm like, oh, I'm a fetish model. And it's like, there's this called a pony fetish, the pony, you know, but it's also a costume. Like, you look like a pony girl. Like, even Isla Lucy dresses up as a pony in one of her episodes. It's like a little pony outfit. Has a harness, and has leather, has a corset, and has cute little ears with a tail, and even has a tail for the butt and everything. The shoes were the most uncomfortable part.
Because they're hoofs.
They're real horses' hooves with the metal horseshoe.
Wait, not a real horse's hoof. Vegan.
Well, not
vegan, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's clarify, because there's going to be people
horseshoe.
Listening like, wait.
I know. I just say it's horseshoes.
Real horseshoes.
Yeah.
With no heel on it. So you're literally like on your toes, like, you know, like.
Yeah,
with,
like a ballerina.
High heel without a heel. Now they're popular. Lady Gaga wears them, and they're all over the runways now. But this also had a metal shoe on it. And you know there's marble floors. so slippery. And I can't walk in heels anyway. So
well, I remember
like,
I had your arm like helping you down.
Especially because of the marble floors. Once I got on the up, then the uneven, you know, when you get there, the uneven. Oh my God. So I had a hard time walking. But once I sat down on the pillow, I was good. I stayed on the pillows. Yeah. So,
okay,
yeah.
But this costume was the first nail in your coffin. You know that,
and
right?
I didn't even think of anything. Because the outfit's fine. Okay, maybe I might have. I had a bit gag in my mouth because a horse has a bit gag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not a ball gag. It's not even like it's fetishy, but not really. It's mainly like a horse gag because I'm a horse. The mean girls had. They were just...
Yeah, can we just talk about how tense that party was in general?
Yeah.
I just felt like that party was so tense because we were kind of like at the moment when it went from like a million girls going out to it coalescing down to seven girlfriends. Mm-hmm. And the tension was just thick. Like everybody was kind of fighting for what room and who's an official girlfriend and who's on allowance and who's not. So we're starting with that. Yeah. And then the horse outfit.
I know, and I didn't think it would be a big deal because the only thing is the bit gag. Like, it's this horse's outfit.
Oh my God. I feel like they still talk about it to this day.
It's just so weird. And it's like, I don't know if they, was it like, yeah, I don't know. It's like, maybe it was fetishy they didn't like it, or maybe the attention they, because Olivia loved it.
Because
she goes, that's my, I when you came out in that horse's outfit, Olivia, the artist, she goes, of course, she's a fetish, you know, she draws stuff like that.
Right.
So, I got a lot of positive from other people, and maybe that was part of it. I think there was a lot of reasons why they didn't like that. But I spent my whole $1,000. That was a $1,000 outfit.
Yeah.
But I did get uncomfortable in it, and I did change at the end. I had the zebra outfit.
Yeah.
So I was still a horse. But I didn't have the bit gag. And I wore it. It was just a zebra with stockings and a zebra teddy, and I had zebra boots. And I remember one of the mean girls goes, oh, you look so much better, Stacey. I love this outfit so much better than the one you had before. And I'm like, really? But this is like, you see this everywhere. This was like on a cover of one of a lingerie magazine. Mm-hmm. Like, really? I go, well, I'm more comfortable. So I was more comfortable. So I did change for me. I didn't realize how big of a deal it was until afterwards. Everyone brought it up. I'm like, really?
Didn't we talk about her changing? And I said I thought it was because of the mean girls, but I also thought you were uncomfortable.
I was just uncomfortable. Like, I just couldn't, like, I tried to dance in it, and the dance floor, I couldn't walk in those hooves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
And then I didn't want to take off the shoes because then it just messes up the outfit.
Right.
So I had to just change the whole outfit.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was the first, well, it's not the first thing that happened. Obviously, we talked about other things that had targets on your back before that.
Oh, yeah.
But this really was like
yeah,
I said,
that's
the first...
Like, that was the first thing that just kind of like called me out, like, okay.
So I remember when you called me, I was staying in room 3 a lot, but I had my apartment still. So I was at my apartment. So it must've been during the week. Mm. And you were like freaking out saying that they are trying to kick you out.
Yeah. And I guess I was blindsided because I just came home from a photo shoot feeling pretty good and stuff like that. And first I was blindsided because I never kept what I did away from anyone. And I always just assumed that if someone's living in your house, you run background checks. You have security. Like, don't you know who I am? We had Google back then. It wasn't as like it was, but you just Google Stacey. I had a website, StaceyBurke.com. It had everything I did on there. And I've known two of the girls on sets. And I remember talking to even one of them in my bedroom where I'm like, you know, it's like, is this weird that I'm here, you know, knowing what I do for a living? And I remember her saying, don't mention that. Don't mention that. And she walked out of my room. And I'm like, oh, well, that's nice. She's concerned about me. And she was one of the girls. And so I'm thinking like I never really kept it. But it's like the porn aspect of what happened was like what they brought up to them, which is such a small part of my life. Like literally I tried it for literally a couple weeks and I hated it. And I just got, so I went back to fetish modeling. Didn't like it. But it's like, I don't even think they really cared. They knew that too. They just knew that if they just banded together and said, we don't want her around because it gives us a bad reputation, it'll be a good way to kick me out. It was just pictures of, you know, me and another guy, you know, in one of the movies I did. And so when he showed me and he goes, what's this? I go, yeah, I did that. But I I didn't really like hide it. I even said, I started crying. I go, I'm not a dirty girl. And that's when he held me and we cried. Like, he goes, I still want you to be a girlfriend. I still want you to be a girlfriend. And I go, I'm not dirty. And he goes, well, some of the girls are wondering, how come you're not going to the doctor?
Wait, what?
Yeah, because I guess I don't know why they don't think I went. I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, we have a doctor on staff. Why don't you go see the doctor? And I go, because I have a doctor. Oh, he says. I go, I didn't know. You mean we have a doctor?
Like, I'm so confused because it's not like, I hoped and assumed that everybody else was going to the same doctor that Hef would pay the bills for and stuff.
See, I didn't even know about
this
doctor.
But nobody was like checking each other on it. So that seems weird to me that they're like,
they were probably
Hef, why isn't
like
Stacy going to the doctor or something?
Yeah, like, they were probably worried, well, honey, we don't want her because, you know, she might bring, you know, like I wasn't doing porn then. This was like back, you know, like years ago. So it wasn't happening then. I don't know. I probably should have mentioned that to Hef. Now I'm thinking back. I wonder if I was thinking I was doing it at the mansion. No, I wasn't doing it then. But I was telling him I'm not dirty. And I go, I'm taken care of. I mean, just like if I was living at home, I got my own people I see. Like, and he goes, because, you know, we don't want any, you know, diseases and stuff like that. Like, he was, like, worried, like, because, like, someone had to bring that up to him because I don't think he would bring it up to me.
Yeah, I'm really weirded out because I never heard that coming from him about you. And
yeah,
that seems odd to me. And I'm not saying I seem odd, like, I obviously believe everything you're saying, but I wonder why he said that.
I think one of
the girls brought it up, or did he feel like he had to have some excuse or something?
Yeah, I don't know. At the moment, the way he said it, I just figured one of the girls, that was one of the girls' complaints. First of all, how would she know? I mean, do people tell, like, when they go to doctor? Like, I was just like,
that's what I was saying. How does she know you weren't going to the
doctor? I know.
Doctor?
That's like, why I'm like, you know, and so I was just like blindsided, and I go, I'm not dirty. It was like years ago. I go, you guys know I do this. Like I don't keep it. I mean, that was just years ago. Yeah, and like I didn't know, like, you know, no porn star. Like, I didn't know because I could have sworn, I remember in the tabloids, Hef used a data porn.
Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Girl, and it was on a tabloid TV.
Oh, I know who you're talking about from a long time ago. Her name was Candy Barr.
Okay,
and Candy Barr.
Yeah, no, her name was Candy. I mean, obviously that's a stage name, but she was a really cute blonde who did a porn like back in the 50s. She was like dating a mobster or something. She did this porn back in the 50s. So it was one of like the few like porn stars of like the day.
He dated a porn girl.
Yeah, and he was like, loved her, of course, because of like the novelty, and she was totally his type, like really cute blonde. And then he dated her like years later. And the only reason I even know that, like, he dated her in the 70s or something. And the only reason I even know this story is because someone I was around when somebody asked Hef, have you ever dated someone who's your own age? And he said, the only time I did that was like in the early 70s. I dated this woman named Candy Barr, but that was kind of like a fantasy for me because I remember seeing her in this porno. So that's the only reason I know that story. But yeah, he did date somebody who had done porn.
So I never really knew. Like, I didn't know the rules, but it's like, but he was just saying, well, the girls don't want to be seen. in public with you, they think that you bring them down. And I, of course, I was crying. I was just like devastated. And he did. He held me for a long time. And he goes, I don't want to do this. He goes, you're still girlfriend. We'll work it out. You just can't live here. And, you know, he was going to fix it.
Can't be seen in public with us.
Yeah, I can't seem to be in public. I was just going to, you know. So afterwards, dry your eyes, come in the bedroom, honey. We're going to watch a movie. And so I walk in the bedroom after the whole thing. And the girls were like,
that's hilarious.
And I plopped down.
So you called me that night, uh-huh. And you were like crying.
Yeah, I was upset.
They're kicking me out. And I'm like, wait, what? Why? How? What is going on?
Wait, because, not to interrupt, but can I back up and just say that we didn't really know each other and weren't really friends
at this point? Yeah.
Because people are going to be like, well, where were you, Holly?
No,
and I'm like, I was just I've always said
a long time ago when they go, well, how come? I go, look, I don't blame Holly. I don't blame anyone that I didn't know because they don't know. They're just going on what other people are saying. They don't know anything. I blame the girls that were on the set that knew all along. And that's when I'm like, oh, got a couple backstabbers and right. Oh, that hurt. Okay. Yep. Now I know.
Yep. Yeah. So you call me and I'm like, why do they think this? And you're like, well, because I did, you know, it was a long time ago though and stuff. And they only know it because they were on set with me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was on the computer.
I know.
We stayed up until like 3 a.m.
I know.
I was
you
on
were
that
helping
computer.
A lot.
I was printing shit off like their pages that said they were doing stuff too. I was printing people that I thought looked like them. Anything I could get my hands on. I was like, what about this? Is it this person? Was it this porno? Was it this?
And this was like back the computer days when it's like really hard to find. Now you could probably Google anything. It'd be so easy. But then it was like really hard.
It was
hard.
So detective hard to work. Find stuff. You had to like find any little, like is that her in the background of this picture of this whatever? I don't know. It was hard. And
but
I was
all
printing
I know,
out all this shit. And the next day I go marching down to Mary's office and I hand her a folder of all this stuff that I thought two of the girls had done.
Yeah.
And I was like, if they're gonna kick Stacey out, they have to kick them out too.
Like, look at her going back. Oh my God.
Like,
that was so sweet.
Freaking out about it. And then I went back to room 3 and I was sitting in there and the door comes bursting open and it's Hef and he has all the stuff in his hand. He said, this is not those girls. And I asked him about it and they've denied it.
I remember that happened.
Of course they denied it.
Yeah, I remember that happening because I was like at the time when you got voted off the island, like I wasn't really like close with either of you guys at all. Like, and we became friends like right after. That's when we started like kind of doing things during the day and stuff. And I remember you showing me the stuff like, oh, here's this person and that person and this person. Like after you gave them those papers and then Hef was like, that's not them. But correct me if I'm wrong, because this was the impression I had. He told them, I don't know if he told them that you gave them those papers or that some other girls or like what it was. But I just remember feeling like, oh, shit is going to go down.
Mm-hmm. Yikes.
Because it was like all out war from then on.
He told them something because they knew about those pictures because the one girl would joke around about her name and like say that name out loud and stuff.
Yeah.
So he definitely told her.
Mm-hmm.
Told them.
Yeah. And when he called me a porn star, I go, well, that's giving me a lot of credit. That was like 1 week out of my life. Star, please. Hardly.
But I was so devastated that you got kicked out.
I know. I was devastated. Plus, it's like, I didn't even do anything wrong. This was like a past. And like I said, like, I never hid it. I just never flaunted it. I just never really talked about it.
Yeah, well,
it was just something
why
I just never
would
talk.
You if it was like something you did for, you know, 2 weeks out of your life?
And I figured they see my website. I mean, I had StaceyBrook.com. I mean,
the hypocrisy is pretty rich because who blasted porn in his room every night?
Oh, I know.
I mean, what the fuck?
So it's like, it was just, but isn't, all I took it was that they didn't want me there. Pretty much, they just didn't want me there. But I was still there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at first you weren't.
Yeah, I did disappear for a little bit, yeah.
And then I kept like asking Hef if you could just come and spend the night. Can she just come over for a little bit? Like, can she come just for dinner and a movie? She won't go out with us. She'll just like hang out or whatever.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like slowly integrating you back in, but they still stood firm on you not going out with us.
Except there was one time I did go out. Like 2 weeks, it was 2 or 3 weeks later. I remember the outfit and everything. And I was walking downstairs and all the girls were downstairs like looking at me. And I even sang a song, Guess Who's Back? Back again.
Oh my God, that's
Guess Who's
so
back.
Funny.
Stacey's back. Stacey's back. Stacey's back.
But then they booted you again.
Yeah.
I mean, then it was like, no.
Then that's when, because I thought, oh, you know, you're just not living here. He thought that would be cool, just not living here. But then they raised hell. No, we don't want to see you out in public.
Yeah.
And so then I would still spend the weekend at the mansions, but I couldn't go out in public.
Yeah, but we could still share a room. You could still come over and hang out.
And so I would have the mansion all to myself while you guys were out. And I was literally like Tom Cruise, sliding, you know, like. And I would answer the phone like Stacey Burke, Mansion West. And then Alan would go, he goes, "You're like Cinderella. All the girls are out at the ball. And you're with the mice."
Aww, the mice.
And I thought it was so sweet. So, yeah. Then I thought about, like, if it was like social media, it would be great because I got a mansion to myself. I got the grotto. It's my mansion.
Right.
Like, literally, I was the only one there.
We would have had a field day if social media had been a thing.
Oh my God.
Like sometimes I think about that. Like if social media had been a thing while we lived at the mansion. First of all, even without social media, the mansion was like the original content house. It's just the content was for a magazine, not social media. But we would have had such a field day with social media. But also, I wonder how that would have amplified the drama.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, so much.
And there would have been so much sub-tweeting and sub-posting.
It wouldn't have any part of it.
People like, oh my God.
We could have
done little mini photo shoots in our rooms and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God, it would have been fun.
But then, so then we decided, well, why can't you come out to the club with us? Like, maybe you don't line up and take pictures with us.
Yeah.
But you could still
showed
be
up later.
At the club.
Yeah.
Like, he was saying you can't come to the club, so you would show up later.
Yeah, security. I'd be the trailing car with security.
And then eventually
I had my own car.
You would come with security because you couldn't come with us in the limo. So we did everything to undermine
them. They hated on every hate it. But the more they hated it,
The more fun it was.
The more fun. I remember one time I had security brought me there, and I let you guys take a picture, and I'm on the outskirts. And I remember you, Holly, you go, "Stacy, come sit with us."
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. Plop my purse down. Hi.
I'm here.
Oh, they hated it. But I loved it.
We weren't doing anything bad by doing that.
Yeah, because it was what we wanted to do anyway.
Yeah. And we knew that Hef secretly liked it like that, too, because we all got along and had fun together.
Yeah.
And Hef didn't want you out, either. Like, I remember that night after, like, he just felt like he had been outnumbered, which was always his greatest fear. And I think that was the motivation for him kind of wanting a group that didn't get along, is his greatest fear was always everybody banding together and saying, or, like, at least the majority banding together and saying, "We don't want to go out tonight," or "We want this." Like, he always wanted to have the power.
Yeah. Yeah, that power was kind of taken away from
him. Yeah. I remember him, you know, him not wanting you out and him feeling bad.
One of the girls who was on the sets with you has admitted now, more recently, in an article that came up, that she was doing it.
That's where I met her.
Yeah.
I met her on Vivid set, you know?
Well, I just know I was devastated, but we still made the most of
it. But actually, it turned out fine. Like, I even after when I got out, I was there, for, like, afterwards.
Like, well, I feel like being able to be there but not having to go out and not having to go upstairs is kind of like the suite life a little bit.
Like, I get to stay in room 3, then later on room 5. No, I really was devastated because it kind of brought me back high school's forever. Like, I'm a grown-ass woman, and here's high school again. The mean girls, like, kick me out. And then it took a long time to karma to get back because I'm like, I would see the stuff that she get away with. Not even with me, with you guys, just everything. Like, because since I was an outsider now, I saw all the stuff they were getting away with. And it would just make me, like, angry and sad and just, like, question the world. And, like, when's karma? How are they getting all this stuff?
Yeah.
And, like, and they're being dicks. You know, like, mean. Like mean girls.
Yeah.
And it was, like, it took a long time. So when finally karma came into play, I'm like, yeah. It was so much fun.
Yeah,
so
and
good.
I don't think they ever really got what they wanted out of it, ultimately.
No. And they never did, because Hef was always going to have a lot of girlfriends. And I even said that. I go, "You kick the weakest link out. The person that comes to take my place is probably going to be stronger, and you're going to wish you had a weak link."
Yeah.
Because it's like, you don't know what you're going to get into, because you're going to get a new bag of rocks all the time.
Well, that's kind of where I'm going next with my questions, because next we get Crystal in there.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out, like, she's the next weakest link, though. Like, she isn't stronger.
Yeah.
I mean, we love Crystal to death, and we had a lot of fun with Crystal, but they got her out within a year.
Yeah, but wasn't that her choice? Well, she was really trying really hard to be friends with both. But I remember that day when she told us, like, and it was like, why? And she's like, I just can't take it anymore.
Right.
Yeah, it was so sad when she left. I felt like, you're leaving us to the wolves.
I know. She just couldn't take it anymore, which meant it must have been really tough.
And I remember they were always saying like little snarky things to you all the time. Like,
oh, yeah. So many times. Like, yeah. And she'd be in the limo and she would like grab me. She grabbed me one time by the neck. I think I told you about this.
I know you've told the story, but just every time I hear it, it's just. Because, what they got away with. And that girl you're talking about, like, she was physical with people. She was physical. That with Crystal, too.
She grabbed me by the back of the neck and she started squeezing me hard. I guess I was annoying in the limo. I don't know what I was doing. I'm always annoying. I'm annoying. But she grabbed me by the neck and then I looked at, I just smiled and I go, I'm a fetish model. I'm used to pain. Go for it. And she was like smiling. She goes, don't make me. I will. And she started like squeezing it harder and harder.
And then the next thing I have on my notes is Hef's birthday. That was the night Kendra was a painted lady.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
one
yeah.
of the Jello Shot girls.
Yeah.
And you were not allowed to sit at our table. But I remember, I remember this was a time when we were like, we need to like make changes ourselves.
Yes.
Like we need to just like stop being like letting these girls run the show. Like we need to make our own changes. And I remember pulling up a folding chair next to me and be like, Stacy,
come sit here,
and pulled you right up to the fucking table with us.
I know. Yeah, I do remember that. It was like, it was really cool. And I go, really? And then Hef was fine with it. And then I go, okay.
Because I asked him, like, is it okay if Stacy sits here next to me? He was like, yeah, sure. Like, yeah. Like, what's he going to say? You know? And I was like, Stacy, come sit here. And I know they were just seething.
Oh, yeah.
Did you, what were your thoughts on Kendra? Did you not notice her at all that night?
Oh, or? I noticed her because she was like, well, I noticed because I kept like, I was like joking around, like, you got such a little butt, you know, like you got such a butt because she had tall heels. So she looked taller than usual.
Yeah. We she had tall that heels. She looked, yeah,
she
so
looked so
tall
because the heels. And I remember like just talking about her butt. And of course she was the Jello girl and you know, I love Jello shots.
Yeah.
So I would go to her a lot, you know, and I did remember when Hef met her and the other friend that she was with.
Right.
And Hef kind of liked both of them.
Yeah. So then, how would you describe Hef?
Well, he's complex. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, I haven't seen like what other people see because I got kicked out so quick. But like, first of all, like he's smart. He helped with the Hollywood sign. He's done a lot in Hollywood by restoring movies. So he has the smart and then the business-wise, and he did a lot for movies. He did a lot for women's rights, even though it's kind of weird. Like, you know, there is like a lot of hypocritical stuff there, but he did do a lot for civil rights and women's rights, and he did a lot politically. He generally does care for people. But yeah, I know there's going to be the dark side of all that stuff too. I never really witnessed it so much. Like, I never witnessed it. I seen him, other people, like, I remember Rebecca one time, she was bugging you one time, and she ran into bedroom three, and I go, what's going on? She started crying, and he goes, don't ever do that again. So I've seen him yell.
Whoa, I didn't know that story.
And she wanted to be, she was jealous over you, and she wanted Hef number, mm-hmm. she wanted to be number one or something. But she went to your room, and I guess she was bugging you. Like, you were trying to sleep or something. You guys were relaxing in the bed.
I'm trying to think what would set Hef off to a new person.
Like, he was relaxing, too, and you were trying to sleep. And I guess she just plopped on the bed and woke you up, or something was bugging you guys. And then something happened, and then she ran in the room, was crying. And he goes, don't you ever do that again. Holly's trying to sleep. You just don't walk into the room, because she has walked into your room or something. Like, she just walked in your room. And she was crying. She was just like, and then he just yelled. And I'm like, whoa. That was the first time I saw it. I'm like, wow. I don't want to be on the end of that one.
Interesting.
So, yeah. That's why, you know, he was really sweet to me. And you know what? He did stand up to me with the Mean Girls, even though I do know how he likes to play it. When he gave me that money in front of that, the one of the Mean Girls, I know he kind of did it on purpose. Mm-hmm. Just to stir the pot. You know, just to say, like, look, she's still getting lounge, you know, like, and I'm thinking, oh, God, thank you. Now I'm not going to get it anymore. Which, right. You know, it lasted. I know it wasn't going to last forever. So I was upset, but not that upset. I just didn't like the target on my back.
Right.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, but you're already kind of describing it. But how do you describe your relationship with Hef?
I think it was positive. Like, he put me through, like, you know, he could have got rid of me. Like, he could have said, okay, you're fetish, you're weird. Like, you know, because I was kind of a weirdo. I was, you know, I I was different. I didn't fit the mold, but yet he still kind of kept me around. He was really endearing. Like, even when I was left, when I went back to room 3, he found out, like, security told him, like, oh, Stacy's on the premises. And he came up and goes, you little bugger, how come you didn't come and say hi to me? You know, you don't just come up. I go, I didn't want to bother you, you know. And he just hugged me and he goes, no, you're never a bother. Always come up and say hi. And I had it on my voicemail for the longest time. He left me on voicemail. He goes, you're never going to be off the guest list, Stacy. You're always welcome here anytime you want. So I kept on my voicemail for the longest time until I accidentally deleted it. But it doesn't matter now. But I was just like, wow.
And was that true?
No, because not towards the end. When he started getting sick, and then he didn't want it out in the public. And so the guest list started diminishing. Mm-hmm. And little by little, it was shrinking. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't show up for a while because I was busy married. So there was a time when I didn't show up. And then finally, after a couple months, I'm like, okay, I'm going to show up. And I went to the gates, and I was going to get out. And then they go, Stacy, can you keep driving to the end? I go, okay. And they go, I'm sorry, Stacy, you're not on the list anymore. I'm like, and I go, is it because I've been gone for, you know, a few months? I'm so sorry. I know how it is. And then it was, I forget, Tony, he was really nice. He goes, it's not you, Stacy. They're doing it. Everyone, he showed me the list. John Baker was not on there. Rick Pollock was not on there. Like, I'm talking about, like, key people.
Yeah, people that have been there for years.
Years and years and years. So he goes, it's not just you. He even showed me the paper. He goes, this is a list that's off the list. It's not just you. Because I thought, it's my fault. I haven't been up here for a couple months. I'm sorry. I've been busy, you know. And so, and Tony was like, it's not you. And I go, oh, I'll drive all the way home, you know. And it's like, he just saved me from going in and embarrassing myself. Because, because even Jeremy goes, I don't know if you're off there to kick. And I go, well, I don't think because I never got an email. Because I even told him, I go, I never got an email. No one told me. He goes, no one contacted you? I go, no. I didn't know I was off the list. And then, I was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then I'm like, okay. And then I went home and I'm like, oh, well, I'm married. You know, time changes, you know, new administration, you know, it's different. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So I don't really know the deal with that. I don't know who had orchestrated it, but I knew it wasn't Hef.
It definitely wasn't Hef.
Yeah, I don't think it was
Hef. There's one thing I know about Hef. He definitely would have wanted us still up there.
Yeah, because I never took pictures of him limping or doing anything. Like, I never did stuff like that.
Right.
You know, other people might, but I never did.
Right.
So, and I was married, and I had no strings with Hef. Now he was married, so it was like, I was there even after he was married. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I had nothing like that.
What was your relationship like with Mary?
Mary was fine, except she did kind of, I don't think she liked me.
Because I remember you telling me that. That's why I'm asking. Yeah. All right, so where were you when Hef died?
I was at home, and I was invited to Betty Page's funeral. And even the CEO, he goes, Stacy, I really wanted you to show up to that. I'm like, no one invited me. And then, like, the same thing with Hef. No one invited me. Like, I didn't, you know, I found out he died like everyone else. I was at home, social media, bling, and that's about it.
Yeah, I wasn't invited either.
I wasn't invited. Not even told.
No, me neither.
I'm so shocked that I wasn't invited, honestly. Just kidding.
Well, sort of am, because I know if Hef had his way, we all would have been there.
Yeah, because we didn't do anything wrong to him.
No.
We didn't do anything wrong to him.
Even you, Holly.
I
didn't mean that. I mean, wait, we didn't. Well, I mean, all of us. I'm talking about all of us. We really, even writing a book. Like, look, what's your name showed up after writing a book?
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like.
And Hef always had the philosophy that there's no such thing as bad press. He thought any press was good press. Yeah. And Dickie would used to ask him about that. Are you sure? And Dickie would bring the meanest articles about Hef, and he would always say, and I asked Dickie one time, why do you always bring that? It's so mean. And so he's like, well, Hef wants to see it. He says, there's no such thing as bad press. What would you say is your favorite memory from the mansion?
God, there's so many. I mean, of course, like, you know, after the parties, like going to your room and having wine and like looking over the balcony and like, you know, just, you know, making fun of people, like, you know, like it's just stuff like that, you know, like, and having like cheese fries, you know, and having what's his name? You making your bean dip, like what's his name? Ricky? Not Ricky.
No, Ramon.
Ramon.
Yeah.
Making food and stuff like that. And just afterwards, and just like just talking about, and or like after a party, like we'll be still dressed up, or we go back to the party in our pajamas.
That was way dance. Later.
Yeah, that was way later.
Girl time like was the best time.
Because at first we weren't allowed to do that, like go back down. It wasn't until way later that we were allowed to go back down.
Exactly.
What would you say is your worst memory from the mansion?
Oh, the kick out day. That was probably it, because I was just meltdown, like, oh my God. It was like back in high school, it was just like they treat me like I was just like a leper, like I was just like the worst thing ever. I'm like, I didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, I did porn, but like, didn't you know? Like I literally thought they did background checks. I thought everyone knew everything. Like, I just didn't flaunt it. Like, I'm gonna say, oh, by the way, you know, a few years ago when I did porn, like, yeah. It's not in conversation.
Right. I've heard so many stories from guests that went up there for many, many years to staff have told us how much things changed after we left, and mm-hmm. not for the good. And I not always wondered, are they just saying this because...
No, it got mean.
Well, when people would tell us that, I would always think, are they just saying this because...
to be flattering.
Yeah, because, no, you know, we're not really... there, and they're trying to be nice. But no, it's come from too many people now that things just really went to shit after we left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, well, Hef started getting older, and he got really... After you guys left, his age, he aged like 20 years in like 2 years.
Yeah.
And like really quickly. And he deteriorated really quickly and stuff like that. And so, yeah. And so he wasn't really, and you know, like he said, he didn't want anyone to see it. So it was like.
Well, let's end on a positive note.
Okay.
I was thinking about some of the fun things that we used to do and share and stuff. And we've talked about some of them already, like ordering cheese and wine in my room and staying up all night chatting and stuff. But also getting ready for the parties.
Oh,
in my
room. Oh, yeah. That was so much fun. Doing the hair and makeup. And then I had hardly any hair, so I just clip on my hair for the day, which is awesome because it was like, boom.
You would always come in early. We would hang out all day long. Yeah. As soon as the Jell-O shots are ready, you would go and get a whole plate of them and bring them back to the room. She's like, oh, Jell-O shots are ready to go.
I know. I'd go in the freezer. There they are. They go, there's Stacey with them. I go, I got it. And it was party before the party. We pre-partied.
Mm-hmm. It was almost more fun than the actual party. Like, I know, just getting ready for the party.
I know. It actually was.
So thank you so much for joining us, Stacey. That was super fun. We're definitely going to hit you up more when you appear on the show as we're watching.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot more to cover.
So much more to talk to you about. This is just like, we just wanted people to like understand who Stacey was and how you got there. Because there's really no backstory in the show on you.
I know.
Like, it just says Hef's former girlfriend is what it tags you as.
Yeah. Except for my wedding, when you said, she's a fetish model.
Yeah. But I mean, even then, I mean, I haven't watched that episode yet, but I feel like even then they didn't go into, like, who you really are, you know?
Yeah. That's okay.
Anyway.
Now we're doing it.
Yeah.
So we will see you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Having MG can make cooking difficult, but over the years, I've found some really helpful tools and tips that I'm excited to share. Hi, I'm Alicia. I think cooking should always be fun, creative, and of course, delicious. These black bean burgers are hearty, full of flavor, and MG friendly. You're gonna love them.
Check out Alicia's black bean burger cooking video and other recipes full of tips and tricks for managing common MG symptoms while cooking only at mg-united.com.
Ready? Let's cook.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports. The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at nissanusa.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Save big on everything for your next staining project when you shop at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture, and repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save.